Good morning. How are we doing? That was enthusiastic. All right. It's always a challenge, and kind of a fun thing to come up with something to talk about. And the first thing I want to do right now is tell you that I'm going to talk about the conference we went to last weekend. Okay? It was great. We had a good time. Over the years, we've been enough times that we build up friendships down there, and so you spend half your day hugging people. Amen. And it was terrible. Oh, gosh. Just to have to hug all those people. I mean, it was, you know, can you imagine what that's like? It was really nice. It was really nice. One of the things that we celebrated was 50 years of different things that all kind of happened at the same time. So I'm going to kind of try and figure that together. But first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a Hebrew lesson. So a Hebrew word, and it's spelled L-E-L-R-O-E-E. L-R-O-E. And it means the God that sees me. The God that sees me. And it comes from the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter. And in that chapter, Abraham and Sarah have been told that they're going to have a baby, but it hasn't happened. They're old. They're getting older and older and older and older. And Sarai comes up with a bright idea. She goes, hey, why don't you take my servant Hagar, sleep with her, and maybe we can bring a family about through her. So Abraham goes, okay. So he sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. But when she gets pregnant, she gets a little fat-headed. And things aren't going so well. And then she says to Abraham, this is all your fault. Have you ever heard that before? You come up with the idea and then it's their fault. You know, so Hagar gets blamed. So she decides she's going to split the country, split the territory. She gets out there and she's hiding and she's crying and in the wilderness. And in Genesis 16:8, she's under there, and God said to Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? She says, where have you come from? Now, that's where this word comes in there. And it's another one of those things. It's like, what have you come out of? What have you come out of? What's been going on in your life? Are you aware of what's going on in your life? What have you come out of? And where are you going? Those are good questions, aren't they? Where did you come from and where are you going? Do we know where we're going? And she says, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. And God says to her, look, where are you going? She's an Egyptian slave. She's basically decided to go back to Egypt. And God comes and says, there's nothing for you there. You can go back, but there's nothing for you there. You're a slave, basically. And he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I see you. She's hiding under a bush. Well, the theme of the conference that we went to is all nations gathering. And nations gathering comes from Ephesians 2, 9 and 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee's going to bow and confess. Well, how does that happen? What happened at the conference is we were celebrating 50 years. 50 years of several things. The 50 years of the establishment of this church. This congregation is the byproduct of what happened 50 years ago yesterday. Amen. October the 6th, 1968, this was the beginning of the Metropolitan Community Church, which is our mother church. And so several things happened at that time. The hippie movement started. Tammy's going, yeah. Okay. And the hippie movement started. And that was a different thing. And Chuck Smith started Calvary Chapel and Vineyard. Have you heard of those? Calvary, we have a Calvary chapel here. There's a lot of them around now. Troy Perry started this congregation. And what happened is there were people in the community who were kind of disenfranchised. They were the hippies, the Jesus freaks, they became known as. And Chuck Smith, down in Los Angeles area, in that area and down there, was trying to get a church going called Calvary Chapel. And it had moderate success. Moderate. And one time his wife says, I want to meet a hippie. And their daughter was dating a guy who was now a Christian but had been an ex-drug addict and a hippie. And so the boyfriend says, well, I'll bring one over. So he brings over a hippie so they can meet him. And that hippie's name was, anybody know? Lonnie Frisbee. Lonnie Frisbee was a hippie. He had started out young. He started out, his mom was a single parent situation with his mom. And she had a series of not so great companions. At age 8, one of them molested and raped him. It affected him. And at 15, he and a friend joined the Laguna Beach Gay Underground and got involved in that. At 18, he got involved in another group in things that were going on. But he was basically a hippie. He was doing drugs, all that kind of stuff that they were doing. The Haight-Ashbury was where a lot of them hung out. There's this little street. And I heard about Haight-Ashbury all the time. You know, you hear about this Haight-Ashbury. Anybody ever been there besides me? Have you been there? In San Francisco. Well, it was just down the street from where my friend lived. And I'd gone to see her hundreds of times. And well, not hundreds, but lots. And I didn't know that it was just two streets down from her place. So one time, a friend of mine and I were in San Francisco, so we went down to Haight-Ashbury. It's still got a lot of stuff going on, but it's not like it was. But we went down there. So he was part of that. He was part of different kind of movements. He was into mysticism and all this kind of stuff. But then he started reading the Bible. And they would go on like trips, walks, you know, marches out to place. So this one time, instead of trying to get into the mysticism and stuff, he started reading the book of John to the group that were out there with him. And many of them became believers, and they hiked to a waterfall, and he baptized them. And so he became an evangelist and spirit-filled teacher and believed in the gifts of the Spirit. And so he met Chuck Smith, and Chuck liked him. And Chuck says, I couldn't believe how much love radiated from this kid. And so we asked him to be a part of the ministry because he was already out doing things. In fact, one time there was a church, they had a Mexican guy had come up from Mexico. He was blind. They says, oh, take him down to the ocean there. The guy down there, he'll fix him. And so they brought him down to Lenny, and Lenny told him to be healed, and he was. And so Chuck Smith was impressed with him. Lonnie had gotten married to his old high school girlfriend, and Chuck put them in charge of the Wednesday night Bible study. In 1 week, the Bible study increased by 35 people. He was the catalyst that took it off. He had the radiant Spirit of God with him. And here he is. He's a hippie, part of the Jesus people. Well, what does that tell you? Roe, the God that sees you. Amen. There was a need. God met it. Introduced him to Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith was born in June 27, 1927. And he lived till October the 3rd of 2013. He was a Pentecostal, very set, very hard standards. The problem was with Lonnie was that he also was gay. And he got married, trying to overcome it, didn't work, got divorced, but denied, you know, tried pushing it away. None of us have ever done that. I mean, we wouldn't do that. But, you know, Chuck lived to be 86 years old, 83 years old. And he was very staunch, very staunch. Now, at the conference, one of the people that was the speaker there was his son, Chuck Jr. And he talked about his dad and the different things that took place and how rigid he was. Now, in Calvary Chapel, you can be affiliated with Calvary Chapel in different ways, and there's thousands of them around the world now, and we have some here in Salt Lake. Problem was, when Chuck Jr. started questioning the rigidness of the Pentecostal movement, and he became an ally, a friend, for the gay people, for the homosexuals, and they kicked him out of the fellowship, out of the Calvary Chapel for that. In fact, they celebrated when they got him off the rosters, which was a little more difficult because he was the founding father's son. But he was there and he talked about the different things that took place and how rigid his father was. And he came across as very compassionate and caring. He said, but the more you got to know him, the colder you realized that he was. And he wasn't as friendly as he could be. But Lonnie had the charisma, the catalyst that got this the Calvary Chapel going. And we have Calvary Chapels now because of Lonnie Smith, a gay Christian who believed. He would go out and hitchhike, just hitchhike. He had no destination in mind. His whole goal was to give you a ride so he could tell you about Jesus Christ. That was it. Once that was completed, he could get out of the car and hitchhike back. And he was that dedicated to Jesus Christ. But being gay and being active in the gay community, they kicked him out of Calvary Chapel and Vineyard, the two churches that he was the catalyst to get going. And I always thought about that. I thought about the different pastors that have come out that have gotten kicked out of their congregation. And they were large. I'm trying to think of the guy in Colorado Springs, but can't think of his name right now. But he got kicked out. And it's like, here he was leaving this big mega church, spiritual, down the road. But they find out he was gay and they kick him out. And it's like, that ought to be a clue, guys. You're walking in the Spirit. You're doing everything in the Spirit. And the Spirit's working in you. And it's like, okay. So here we do, in the 60s and 70s, you have the Jesus movement, the hippie movement. And these people are coming to the Lord all the time. And multiple, thousands of people. And he put a tent up on one of the places, and he had over 2,000 people at the service. Lonnie was there, and associated with other people. Well, on the other side of the scale, because these people over here, some of them, like Lonnie, were gay, there were also other people in the community that were gay. One of those was a man named Troy Perry. Troy Perry was a Pentecostal. He told us about an incident where he would preach to the cockroaches. They'd be dead underneath the houses were up on stilts, and he'd get under there and he'd line all the dead cockroaches up and preach to them. And he tried to do the straight route too. He got married and had a couple, three kids. And then they found out that he was gay, and they excommunicated him from the Pentecostal church. And he threw him out. So he moved over to the Los Angeles area and had a boyfriend. And just for a side note, this church was owned by the group that threw him out. That's who we bought it from. It was a Pentecostal group that was closed. This had closed down and been closed for years. But it was just, I thought it was kind of ironic that it's like, okay, we bought your church because it closed. So anyway, in October the 6th, well, he moved out to California. He had a boyfriend, and things were going well, kind of emotional. Ended up breaking up with his boyfriend. Was a bad breakup. Well, are they ever good? Well, sometimes. But broke up with his boyfriend, tried to commit suicide, and he was in the hospital, and a nurse came in there, and he says she came in like a stormtrooper and basically told him he needed to get his act together because God had a plan for him, and he better follow it. And she disappeared. Never saw her again. But he got out of the hospital, and so he decided to try it. So he ran an ad in the newspaper and saying that he was going to have a meeting at his house on this day, and 12 people showed up, 11 men and a woman. And they had the service. Now, 9 of them had just showed up because they were his friends, and they were actually kind of going to make fun of him, but it caught on. And so it happened, and they grew and grew and grew, and they became larger and expanded. This church was about, I think, the 15th church that was a byproduct of the MCC. January the 2nd, 1972 was the time this church was established here in Salt Lake City. A bunch of people got together and established the church. I was a missionary up in upstate New York for the LDS church. It had a big, heavy snowstorm that day. And so we couldn't get the car out of the driveway because it was behind the house and a drift was over it. So we walked to an appointment we had. We got through the appointment, we're walking home, and you know when you get in those snowstorms and it's white and light, you can see things very clearly? Well, it was one of those, and it was snowing. I was looking at the beauty of the snow, thinking about what am I going to do when I go home? Because I was going to go home in a couple of months. And the Spirit said, you're going to be a minister. I said, no, we don't have those in the Mormon church. Get behind me, Satan. But it didn't go away. It didn't go away. And I got to meet Troy Perry, talk to him. And it was interesting because he very dynamic, very Pentecostal still. We saw a film of him. You can tell that from the film we saw, that he was very dynamic about everything. So here in the 60s and 70s, you have the hippie movement. You have Calvary Chapel and Vineyard starting. You have Troy Perry starting another church for the gay community. And so here we have the saying, El Roi, the God who sees me, sees where we are. And it also means the God who guides. And so God is there, and he sees people in need. And he reaches out to them. It may not be to start a church, but it may be to show up at church. And maybe one of the partners wants to come and the other one doesn't. But God works it out. Now, I've been a part of this congregation since 1986. Just a couple of years, about a year after it was bought, this building. The church had been here, but they were working on the building. I helped with the fundraiser sale of the bonds. And so we bought those. And we've been through a lot of ups and downs. Amen. And in fact, this church before that, even before we bought a building or anything, had a reputation of this. And it hasn't stopped, but it's going to. Amen. So here we celebrated 50 years ago. God saw people who needed his presence and started a movement, either with MCC, with Calvary Chapel. The hippies had their place to go worship. A lot of them were converted. And one of those people at that time, at that same time frame, was a person called Marcia Stevens. How many of you know Marcia? She'd been here a few times. She came here twice and did concerts. one in 1996 and the other one about 2001. She was at the conference because she was a part of that thing. She knew Chuck Smith. She knew Lanny Frisbee. Chuck Smith, again, took her in. When she was 16, she became a Christian. And she was trying to explain to her sister what Christianity was all about. And she couldn't think of a way to do it. And so she sat down and she started writing a song. And she wrote a song explaining to her sister what Christianity was. "For Those Tears I Died." Which almost makes me cry just saying the title. How many of you ever sung the song? Wonderful song. We sang it here. But she was 16 and she wrote this song. And her teacher in school saw it and told her, "You need to copyright this." And it was like, "Oh, no, no, no," you know, all this stuff. And so the teacher came up with a plan. And he said, "Marcia, what I want you to do is I want you to go and copyright this and write down the process and come back and give us a report about what it took to get it copyrighted." So she did it as a challenge. As a challenge. Now, that song went on to be started being sung around campfires at Calvary Chapel and Vineyard. And then Marcia came out. Oh, and it was published in hymn books. We had some hymnals that it was page 228 in the hymnal. And they were in a lot of different hymnals that were there. And then she came out. Again, people, they chucked, disowned her, put her out. And so where did she go? She went to Troy Perry. She ended up with Troy Perry. And Perry wanted her to sing. She said, "No, I'm done with that. I'm not going to do that anymore." He says, "Well, we're having a conference. Why don't you sing at the conference for us? Open this thing." So she says, okay. So she did. And that started a career where she's written lots of albums and songs. And like I say, she's toured here. But it was all during that same 50-year thing. Marcia's 66 now. God just worked in lives of people in all different ways. And God hasn't changed. God still sees us in what we're doing. 1972, the Spirit told me I was going to be a pastor, a minister. I said, "Yeah, right. Yeah, right." Who won? And like I said, there's ups and downs. You know, people aren't here today because they're off with birthday parties, whatever. Ups and downs. But the Holy Spirit is moving in us. And like you said, we're here today because the Spirit started something, prompted something. And we have to be open-minded because God's going to call you to do something. And it may not make any sense. And one of the examples I love to use Jay's example Jay gave me years and years and years ago, where one time he's going along and he's headed home, and he lived out in the south end of the valley back then. And the Spirit told him, "Go to the Smith's parking lot." Right? And he went. At first he thought, "Why?" But he went. And he had an encounter, and he helped somebody that because of that prompting that he listened to. God doesn't just want you to sit in the pew and warm it. Keep the dust off of it. God has a call. And we may not understand it. When we certainly probably will not see into the future about what it's going to end up like and where we're going to be. Because probably none of us planned on being here a month ago or a year ago. You tried not to be here.
Yeah, I know.
For years. How did that work out? You're here. Okay? And some of the other ones, I know that's the same thing. And so this El Rui, God sees me. And then Genesis 16, 13, Hagar says, this is Hagar speaking. God has told her, don't go back to Egypt. There's nothing there for you. Go back to Sarah. That's where you belong because I'm making you a great nation. And if you look at the land over there today, you have Israel. They have their land. You have the Palestinians. They have their land. And it's like, because they're relations. They're relatives of each other. They're relatives of each other. And they're fighting over the land. Okay. Anyway, so Hagar, she says, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, hiding under a bush. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. For I have now seen the one who sees me. Too often, we have a mental knowledge of God, but we haven't seen God. But when we do, it makes all the difference in the world. You do things that you wouldn't normally do. November a year ago, I handed out some note tablets for reading and writing. Kelsey took hers home and took it seriously. She was telling me this morning that she has enough to last until November. 1 year, she's been journaling. All the things that she's grateful for, things that God's doing for her, all of that for a year. And you've been blessed for it. You've been blessed for it. I told her, fill it up, I'll give you another one. And if you don't have one, let me know. I'll get you one. Okay? Because God's going to work in your life. God's going to do things in your life. I'm 72. Did I think I'd still be doing this when I was 72? No. But I thought of, that's another thing. I thought about it because I went down to the Christ Cathedral many times over the years. Lonnie's buried at the Crystal Cathedral, where Bob Schuller was the pastor. And Chuck Smith did come and speak at his funeral. He died when he was 43. But they knew, they saw God, the God that saw them. God looks at us, God sees our lives. We have a purpose. And I've been doing more this week. Everybody I talk to, if I can, I get their name. If I'm in a store, I look at their badge. And I talk to them and I thank them by name. When we were at Disneyland, if I could see the person's name that was doing whatever, I would thank them by name. Thanks, Sally. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Bob. It makes a difference. They would smile where they hadn't before. Because it was a boring job. Move over to the left, sit down, thank you. Move over to the left, sit down, thank you. Move over to the left, thank you. Make sure your belt's on up, make sure your belt's on up. Every one of them smiled back and said hi. We're not maybe going to move the world, but we never know. We might. A gay Christian was the catalyst that started Calvary Chapel. Not Chuck Smith. Chuck was struggling. Lonnie was the catalyst. Lonnie. That nurse was the catalyst that got Troy Perry going. Troy was the catalyst that got Marsha going again. And not just Marsha. We had another singer come here, Karen Ann Edwards. She had tried to commit suicide. She was a singer in a nightclub. She lost her voice. And she says, I went home and she says, I opened my closet with all the sparkly dresses and I collapsed into the closet and the beads popped and they rained down all over me because my life was done. She went to MCC. Same thing. Prompted her, please, so do this. She says, I can't sing. They says, do it. Okay. Day of the conference. Day before the conference. Can't sing. Day of the conference, she couldn't sing. Came time for her to sing. She stood up and she sang. And she says, I thought this was going to be plan B. This was plan A. This was plan B. She goes, this was plan A all along. I just had to lose my voice for God to get my attention. Does God work miracles? Yeah. Karen Ann came here. She parked their motorhome out front. And all of a sudden, transmission fluid got belched out of the dipstick thing all over the place. Took it in, couldn't find anything wrong with it. God works miracles. So what's my point? Remember the word, El Roi, the God who sees me. The God who directs me. Don't forget that God does direct us. It's just harder sometimes to get our attention, especially if you're like me. But it was a great conference, wasn't it?
It was.
Good speakers. All of them had to do with what was going on and about what was going on. It was fun having Marcia there. We had a tape presentation from Troy. Chuck was there. Chuck Smith Jr. Was there, the one who got kicked out of Calvary Chapel because he likes those homos as being Christian. Go figure. But listen. Listen. And it was so fun remembering going there and looking at people that were young when I started going there. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. That was back in 1993. That was a while ago. I was young too. But just fun. God likes you to enjoy life. Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you for 50 years of life that you gave us. Thank you for looking to find us when we worked really hard to get lost. When we worked so hard, Lord, to hide, but you guide. That's your name. The God who sees me. The God who guides me. The God who guides us. You brought us here, Lord. You brought us. We give all of it to you. Because, Lord, we don't understand always what's going on. But we thank you. And thank you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.